Just as we begin, the sun comes out.
Yay.
After a pretty rainy morning. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Jamie, I'm one of the ministers here. It's really good to see you. You're very welcome. If you're here in person, if you're joining us online or catching up at some point in the week, you are very welcome. We're going to begin our service this morning with a little bit of sung worship. If you feel able to, please stand with me and sing. If you'd rather sit, that's absolutely fine. Feel free to praise the Lord with me.
God is able, He will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we see, greater than all we ask. He has done great things. Let's sing that again. God is able. God is able, He will never fail. He is Almighty God.
This morning, just as we are, Lord, with all the reality of our lives, Lord, and all the reality of what's going on in the world, Lord. We pray for our country, Lord. We pray for our lives. We pray for our communities. We pray for the world, Lord. So much chaos, so much need, so much suffering. And yet, Lord, we declare here, we are here this morning to declare that You are able. That's why we're here, Lord. We're here because we know that our God is able.
Yes, we do.
We know that our God is able.
Amen.
We know that our God is able.
Amen.
We declare it. You are almighty. You're more than anything that we could seek for or strive after, Lord. You're greater than anything we ask. You have done great things and You will do great things, for the Lord our God is able. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to invite Alistair now to come and share notices with us. Oh, yeah. No Don't run.
Right, so, good morning and welcome to the Shore Community Church. I should speak into this. It's good to see you all this morning. Is it on?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. I'm Al, and I'm a leader here. I'm the notices and welcome guy this week, so come on me. That's it. I've got to apply today. It's while I was just filling in my email. That's why I was late up here. Do you know, as I was walking in, and it's a very short walk to me, I felt I wanted to share, and I know you know this, but I felt I wanted to share, God is everywhere. He's here. And so part of my very short welcome is just a prayer, because I'm going to pray that you meet with him and feel his presence very clearly this morning.
Amen.
Notices. Next week, next Sunday, there's a blessing for Carla's wedding,
and John.
And John is also involved.
John will also be there.
And afterwards there is cake and everyone is invited.
Yay!
Now I'm going to talk about prayer. There's a Zoom prayer meeting Monday this week, 7:45. The details are on Church Suite if you get the email. If you don't get the email, can you shout at Carla or one of us to say, I really want the email, because all of the details in these notices are much more detail are in that email. So email is key. But there is a Zoom prayer meeting it is a great opportunity to pray into our church and our community. And we can pray for Carla and John's wedding. We can pray for so much, our youth, all of the exciting things that are happening. So Zoom meeting Monday, 7:45, that's this week, and it's a significant event. Now, I've been told to push this very hard. So, and it's really easy because I looked at this guy, I've sort of seen him a little bit, but I did a bit of Googling on Harry Baker, who is this chap who's coming to our church on the 15th of December. Oh man, it's amazing. He's so talented. So he is booked to come on Thursday the 15th of November to this church. And this is a guy that fills... I know he's a world champion at poetry stuff, but if you, and I don't really believe in YouTube hits, but this guy's got millions of YouTube hits. He's a megastar. And he's coming here, and he's really inspiring, really talented. So tickets can get on Church Suite, I believe. You can definitely get the tickets on Church Suite. It's the 15th of December, and it's a great opportunity to bring... I'm thinking of all the friends I can bring, so it will be great if... Come along, look at it, look him up. Just look him up and see how talented he is. I'll guarantee if you did, you'll really want to come to that event. So that's Harry Baker here, 15th of December. And also, Sophia is singing on that night, our very own gorgeous Sophia, super talented, will be singing that night as well. Is that right? Yeah. Was that a big enough push?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big push. Karaoke night. God, it just gets bigger and bigger. The karaoke night is Saturday the 19th, which is a fundraiser for The Haven. That's to speak to Dave Lacey, Simon Day or Carla in relation to tickets. Tickets are £5, and that'll be a donation of £5. That'll be a great night. And last message is a coordinator for Christmas Lunch Together. Now I'm going to read this. So, for many years we have offered a Christmas lunch for people who otherwise might be on their own. However, we need someone to coordinate this event, to work with the cook and volunteers to bring everything together. So if you feel, when I read those words, if you think, I could do that, I could help make that very important event happen, well, that'll be great. Just can you come and go and see Carla after the service? Good, that's me done, other than hopefully behind me there's the offering graphic. Behind me, there's going to be an offering graphic. And can I have some volunteers actually to take? Oh, thank you very much. Well done, guys. Well done, guys. So we're now going to take the offering. As you probably know, we fund church life. Everything in this church is funded by the offering that is generously given. So thank you for blessing us through the offering.
Awesome. Thanks, Al. He's available for weddings, bar mitzvahs. No. If you need a hype man, and if you can find him, maybe you can hire Al. Kids, one more or? Yeah? Okay. We're going to do one more song before the kids go out, I gather. If I understood Juliet's actions correctly, I have been learning. Like to feel free to stand with me, that'd be great. If you just want to like listen to the music, listen to the words, read the words. Just apply them to your own life. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, He speaks the true language of our souls. That voice, that touch, those words inside, that's God meets us. Do you need strength this morning? We wait for the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever.
The everlasting
pray for our kids and our young people as they go out to their groups. We pray for those who will be caring for them, teaching them, guiding them. Lord, we pray for a lot of fun. Lord, we pray that your spirit will just be so tangible amongst our young folk and their teachers, Lord. Lord, show us your ways. Make us all as children as we run to you, our loving, loving Father. Amen.
It is well.
soul. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. To sing a song like that. Maybe as even you were singing those words, you were saying, yeah, yeah, it is well, but. Or I'd like it to be well. It's totally natural to feel that way in the midst of earthly troubles and trials. Now, in this place, invite the Holy Spirit to lift you up, to lift you outside of those situations, to lift you up, to give you a heavenly perspective. To see your life held, cherished, beloved, arms of Almighty God. He holds you for all eternity. He knew you from eternity past. He will know you for eternity future. He knows you, he sees you, he made you. He loves you. And he loves everyone. He made everything. And by his power, he is making all things new. So we declare that it is well with my soul.
Your name.
by your name. We glorify your name in all the earth. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Glorify your name.
share God's word with us, what he's placed upon her heart. I just pray, Holy Spirit, will you anoint her with peace and certainty and sureness, the words to create those images in our minds. And I pray that we'll have hearts to receive what God has for us today.
Okay. Good morning, church. My name's Elisa, as Jamie said. I am a retired trustee from this church. I survived, yeah. This word has been rattling around my head for quite a few weeks, so it's a privilege to be able to say it to you today. I want to thank my cheerleading group. I have some friends that have come in today from Renew, so I'm really grateful for your support. Lovely to see you here. Now, God's been talking to me about value. And there's an awful lot of people in here and outside of here who don't feel valued. So I want to put a little picture in your head first before I read about the scriptures and things. I went to a conference with Joe Fredericks in the summer. It was about 38 degrees in London in a church. What were we doing? There was a little girl in the church, and she came in first of all dressed. She couldn't cope with the heat, so Mum put her in her knickers and vest, and she was about 3. She had big earphones on over her head with the cord just dangling. It wasn't plugged into anything, and she was dancing up the aisle for all her worth. And I looked at that little girl and I thought, wow, she feels safe, she feels valued, she feels loved, and she's able to be herself in front of everyone and God. And it really touched me. So God's been talking about value. So there's my first page. So can you turn to the scripture, please, Carla? So I'm kind of doing Luke 15, but obviously that's a whole chapter, so I'm going to appraise it, do little bits and pieces, and I'm not going to do it in order, because God didn't tell me it in order, so I'm going to do it in the order he told me. So I'm just going to read Luke 15, 8 to 10. Parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Now, many of you will have heard these passages over and over again, and many of you are already Christians. If that is so, do not count yourself out, because God is going to talk to you today. We need foundations put in. So, the coins, this was the bit that God really talked to me about. And there were 10 coins. And each one had a value. But one was lost. And when we think of value, we think often of the combined value. If we're sitting in here and I'm talking about value, there's going to be some of you in this space who are thinking, that's everyone else, but not me. I'm not valuable. They are. But if you notice, God looks for the lost coin, the lost one. Individuals are intrinsically valuable. This is sort of, parables are sort of a painted picture with words. So it tells us what's on God's heart by doing it in a kind of story with a relevance. So, if you've ever read this before, you know, I always thought like it was a 2p coin that she lost, and oh dear, what a pity. But I've actually looked into what those coins mean. Next slide, please. So, if you look and delve into the scriptures, it means that these coins had a lot of value. And they were a wedding gift. And you see a bracelet up there with coins on. So it's kind of like us would give an engagement or wedding ring. It has sentimental value as well as physical value. And in those days in Palestine, you know, people were very poor. And those coins would have been used when necessary to actually live off. But it also holds great sentimental value because it's about a wedding. It's about relationship. It's about intimacy. So, God wants that intimate relationship with us, but he wants us to realize that we are so valuable to him that he is prepared to search for us. And each of the coins was meant to be about a day's wages. So actually, quite a lot of worth. And coins are quite surprising because, you know, I always think of little coins. But we went to an auction not long ago and they were selling them for £1,000, £2,000, different coins. So actually, God sees you as very worthwhile. So in the story, the lady diligently, I can just about say that, searches for the coin. So she lights the lamp, she gets the broom out, she's turfing everything upside down. Can we have the next slide, please, Carla? So I regularly look for the TV remote, and usually it's under the cat. The cat sits on it. But, you know, I wonder if you've actually lost something really valuable and you've turned everything inside out. You know, you put your hands down all the crumbs in the edge of the sofa. You know, you move everything. Well, God always makes the first move. There's no awkward moments with God. He wants to find you because you are so valuable to him. And he loved us first. Is it sliding? Now, I wonder about sin, because this is one of the things that makes us feel so less valuable, doesn't it? And sin is all the things that we think and do and act that are just not quite hitting God's target. We're not just quite making it. Well, if you look for buried treasure, there's a great picture in this. I love it. So, the Mary Rose has been on the TV lately where they dug it up out of the silt and, you know, pirates, and you've got the whole picture under the sea. If you have a gold bar or a coin and it's in the dirt, it is still valuable. So, God still sees you as valuable. And then we hear that the lady in the story, she takes that coin when she finds it and she celebrates with all her friends and neighbours. Wouldn't you if you'd lost your wedding ring? She celebrates, and God absolutely celebrates when we turn towards him from the things where we've missed the mark. He so wants that relationship. Right, next slide, please. So I'm just going to read from Luke 15 again. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Now, who's the notorious sinner? You know, I put my hand up, it was me. I bet a lot of us are the notorious sinner. Critical voices are the things that undermine our value. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's the enemy of our soul whispering in our ears. If you are like me, you know, when you walk in a church building, do you think that you have to be all sorted out? A lot of people I talk to who don't go to church say that to me. But actually, that's not true. Remember the picture of the treasure in the dirt. You are valuable. So it was the Pharisees. Now, these are the religious leaders of the time who are being critical of Jesus doing life. He was eating and sitting and talking with tax collectors, prostitutes, all sorts of people. Now, wonder who are the people that you're avoiding. Once upon a time, I was having hydrotherapy and went in the pool in Bognor Hospital, and there was a lot of old ladies in there with me, and one man climbed to get in. Now, he had piercings in places that were a bit uncomfortable, and he had tattoos everywhere. And these little old ladies kind of went back to the edge of the pool. Now, he could have been a really nice bloke, you know? He's just different. Or I went to an art gallery in Eastbourne with Roger, and there was a guy there. Now, I don't know if he was an alcoholic or a drug user, or both. He was sitting in one of the galleries and he'd obviously wet himself. So the smell was really rather pungent. But people were avoiding him. He was quite intelligent. He was sitting there reading a book. How do we view people? Who are the people that we don't value? Is it people of different race? Different from us? Who are the notorious sinners? Is it people with different sexuality? Is it people that are refugees? Is it people who do things that we would definitely not do? But God sees the value. Now, we get to the parable of the lost sheep. So there's 99 sheep in the wilderness. The shepherd is looking after them, but there should be 100. There's one missing. So he goes off, leaving the 99 in the wilderness to actually find the sheep that is lost. The word for lost is perishing. Because actually, God is a just God, and he needs a price paid for the things that we've done wrong. He finds this sheep, and he puts him on his shoulder. And he brings him back and tells again all his friends and neighbours that he's found his sheep. actually, if you leave 99 sheep, they're actually fairly safe because they're all together and they're picked off if they're on their own. It's the one that's on their own that's the problem. So who is the lost people that we should be valuing, should be telling about God? Because when they're on their own, that's when they can be picked off. We've lost the cultural significance of farming. Now, I've read the Yorkshire Shepherdess books, so I'm a little bit more clued in. So, sheep were very valuable in those times. They were basically how they made their living, how they fed their families. They were valuable for their meat, for their wool, and for their milk. Sheep's yogurt is lovely from milk. So again, God is saying how valuable you are. He knows the sheep. A shepherd knows his sheep. He knows which ones need a bit more tender care, which ones are not as healthy, which ones who are struggling. He knows the character of the individual sheep, and I'm told that they are quite characterful and do daft things. So, next slide, please. This is a sheep in the mud. So, there's a whole generational thing with sheep. If you live somewhere like the Yorkshire Dales and you don't have the normal fences that we do down here, sheep teach from one generation to the next where it's safe to walk. And, you know, out there now, we don't have a lot of the teaching. A lot of people don't go to church. They don't have the knowledge that we used to have. You don't have it so much in schools. And people get lost on the path. So, I'm just going to read from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. And John 10, 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. There has to be a price paid for the things we do wrong. If we want relationship with God, that sin blocks the way because he's a just God. You know, if something is done wrong in our society, we want to see justice, don't we? Well, God is a just God. But he made a way for us to come back to God because he absolutely values who we are. So his son died for us. He took the punishment. Can we have the next slide, please? I love this picture. Absolutely love it. What a picture of intimacy and rescue. So God is a God that rescues us from our punishment, from the dirt, from the things that we can't get right, from being alone. He carries the sheep on his shoulders. And it's actually not only a picture of intimacy, it's a picture of God carrying the burdens of our sin. He did it so that we could have value and relationship. So the last parable in this chapter is the lost son. So again, a really quick appraisal of the story. There's two sons and a dad. The youngest son is rebellious, selfish, arrogant. And he actually wants his inheritance before the dad dies. Because actually, he wants to go and do whatever he wants to do. So he asks his dad for his inheritance, and his dad, being a kind man, gives it to him. And he squanders all the money on wild living. I wonder where we're selfish. I wonder where we muck up. He actually chose to sin. He chose to go the wrong way. So off he goes, and he spent all of his inheritance, and there's a famine in the land, and he is hungry. So he goes and works looking after the pigs. Well, this was really, really not a thing you did if you were an Israelite, because you stayed away from pigs. They were unclean. So he's really hit rock bottom. And he's feeding the pigs pods. And he's starving. He's not allowed to eat the pigs' food. So he comes to his senses. He hits rock bottom. And he returns to his father. And he says, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Can I be a slave in your household? And the dad sees him from a long way off, and he lifts up his clothing and he runs towards the son. He wraps his arms around him and embraces him. He puts a ring on his finger. He puts a robe round him. He puts sandal on his feet. He asks the servants to kill the fatted calf and to have a party. The other brother wasn't too amused, but I'll come to that in a minute. So I wonder where we sink to rock bottom, where there's areas that maybe we've chosen to go the wrong way. Again, I've said to you that the enemy uses sin to tell us we're unvaluable. Even if you choose to sin, there is a route back. God waits patiently for our return. He doesn't force us. The guy came to his senses and walked back towards the Father, and he repented. Now, repenting just means turning from what you're doing towards the other direction. He recognized his position and turned towards his Father. This is a great image, this story of God's tenderness towards us, how much he loves us. Can I have the next slide, please? These are actually song words that I sang in a church, and it was kind of a very funky gospel church, and I wasn't sure if I played the song if you'd get the words. The son came back to be a slave, but God put back authority, sonship, acceptance. You know, we listen to sin, distance, and failure instead of position, forgiveness, adopted and priesthood. When we turn back to God and turn away from what we've done wrong, he puts a robe on us, robe of righteousness. He puts a ring on a finger of authority. Galatians 4:7 says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Next slide, please. I love that picture of embrace. God embraces us. Each of us are valuable. Each of us are worthwhile. I'm just going to finish with the last slide. Everyone is different, but everyone has a reason for living. God put you in this world because you are wonderful. So I'm going to pray. Lord God, I thank you, you're a God who values us as individuals. You see our unique character. You see our unique personality. Lord, even in the mud and the dirt, you see that we're valuable. Thank you, God, that you only speak good things over us and you give us a position of sonship. Lord, I pray, maybe some of you don't know God, that you will come closer to him today, that you will get to know him. For those of you who have been struggling with value, listen to the words that God says over you. You are worth everything. I pray, Lord, that you'll pour peace on people today, that you'll undermine those critical voices with voices of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just take a few minutes just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. I wonder what in those words that Elisa has shared you need to receive today. If you feel able to, please stand with me. If you like to sit, that's absolutely fine as well, just to allow this moment to be in the Lord's presence, whatever works best for you. If you find it easier to focus on standing, sitting, that's fine. But let's take this opportunity to do business with God, to take this moment seriously and deeply. Ideas, what experiences have happened in your life that might cause you to doubt your value, to feel somehow unworthy, unwanted. That would make you feel distant from the heart of God, that would make you fear him like the cosmic headmaster rather than the loving father who rushes to embrace his children. Because that kind of thinking, it never stays quiet. It becomes a bitter root, it becomes a source of resentment. From that resentment can flow our attitudes towards others. Perhaps we need to think about how might we have treated others in a way that denies their basic image of God value. They're made by Godness. Is there any person or individual or group who we might think of as being less in some way? And why is that? Where does that come from? Is there repentance that needs to happen? Is there healing that needs to happen? Holy Spirit, I just pray for my brothers and sisters now that we would receive your wisdom, your insight, your revelation. Show us, Lord, inside. Where is the stuff that needs fixing, Lord? Where is the... Where are the wounds? Where are the hurts? Where are the cracks, Lord? What is it that, Holy Spirit, you long to bring your healing balm to, Lord? If we would open it to you, Lord, and allow you to do your work. And flowing out from that, Lord, where can we act as that healing, loving presence in the world, Lord? What are you calling us to do, Lord? You have a mission in this world, and as your church, you invite us to join you in it. Lord, where might we be? Voices of healing, voices of reconciliation, voices of forgiveness and peace. Lord, you have done it all. You have paid it all. You have done everything necessary on the cross to fling wide the doors of relationship with you, Lord, to cast down the gates of hell and death, and to give us hope, Lord. Faithful then, you are faithful now.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all
thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Great is your love. Great is your power. Great is your patience, Lord. Great is your willingness, Lord, to do more than we can ask or imagine. Just like that son who came to you prepared to beg and to deal and to bargain, to be a servant in your household. And instead, Lord, your heart was to run to him, to sweep him up, to call him again an honored son, and to celebrate new life, reconciliation, new hope, togetherness again, Lord. Great is your power to do more than we can ask or imagine, Lord. And if we're hanging back, if we're creeping around on the edges, if we're tempted to hide from you or to crawl, fearful of a beating, Lord, I pray this morning instead we would have a vision of your smile, of your tears of joy, Lord. And not just for us, Lord, but for all the world, for all those other people. For so often, Lord, we might be the Pharisees and the scribes tutting away, looking at where your heart is in going, well, that's not right. He shouldn't be speaking with those people. He shouldn't be loving those people. He shouldn't be forgiving those people. Lord, forgive us when too often we take the place of the Pharisees, Lord. And instead, help us to remember your great, great love. We are all your lost sheep. We are all your lost son, your lost daughter. And yet, you seek us out, you run to us, you call us back. Lord, we're all the lost coins, hidden with all the fluff and nasty bits down the side of the sofa sometimes. And Lord, your loving hand finds us, polishes us up, and reminds us of that beautiful wedding promise, of that beautiful value that we are to you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you all. I believe there is cake out the back.